wanted some big trucks with bigger engines to fly missions to the International Space Station. SpaceX and Orbital both have won multi-billion dollar contracts to supply cargo to the station because the space shuttles can't do the job anymore. Ahead of final testing, the BBC's science reporter Neil Bowdler was granted exclusive access to Orbital's launch facilities in the state of Virginia.
Military aircraft come and go near Wallops Island, Virginia. Occasionally, the odd small rocket is launched, but things are about to get bigger. If all goes to plan, this is the sound which will be coming from these parts just a few weeks' time from now, as the private company Orbital Sciences test fires its Antares rocket. If that goes well, then it could be flying to the International Space Station in the autumn, the first of eight cargo flights there under a $1.9 billion NASA contract. It's part of a NASA plan to devolve much of what the agency does to private business to save costs.
I've just walked through into the hangar now and my sight has been arrested by these massive rockets that are lying on their side, ready to be assembled. We have two stage one rockets. The fuselage comes from Ukraine. The engines come from the Soviet Union. And I say the Soviet Union deliberately because they were actually part of the failed Soviet moon program. They've been recycled and rebuilt for these Antares rockets. In front of me, we have the Erector launch vehicle, which is a beast of a machine on which the rockets will be laid, taken over to the launch pad, which is just under a couple of kilometres away from here, and then lifted up, erected into position, ready for launch.
Orbital are not the only ones heading into orbit. NASA has also awarded a contract to private rival SpaceX. They've already tested their rocket and safely returned a capsule to Earth. Frank Culbertson, Orbital's vice president and a former astronaut, says it does feel a little bit like a race.
They actually started the development of their system about a year and a half before us, but we're almost neck and neck in terms of who's going to launch next, who's going to get to the station first. NASA actually needs both companies to succeed on every single mission, if at all possible.
NASA agrees. Currently dependent on foreign partners to get to the station, it wants American rockets to ferry cargo and eventually crew there, even if it is struggling with the art of letting go. NASA's Jay Pittman controls the launch range at Wallops Island.
That is the biggest difficulty for us, is not being in every part of that, assuring that every piece of it's going to work. In the end, we're taking our lifeline and we're handing it to these commercial companies. But we have confidence that they're going to get there.
So far, Antares and its Cygnus cargo module have only flown in glossy computer animations. Space analyst Howard McCurdy says there's plenty that can go wrong, but there's also much to gain.
The risks are that you're going to fail, that rocket science is rocket science, that it's really hard, that there's 10,000 things that can go wrong in a rocket that will cause it not to accomplish its mission. What I would like to see happen is the competition between the two firms spur some technical breakthroughs that result in lower costs for getting to space.
I'm just walking up onto Mars now. That stands for Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport, and it's the launch pad for Antares, which is still a bit of a building site. There are workers with hard hats on making final preparations for the test launch in a few weeks' time.
Of course, as long as it's just cargo going into space, failures will to some extent be tolerated. But that will change when NASA takes the next step, putting American astronauts on commercial space flights. That could happen as soon as 2015.
BBC reporter Neil Bowdler.